Now entering Nerdist.com. Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show.
Oh, man, you guys missed some good stuff.
Oh, my God, there was a rant about Apple Watches. I want to hear it again, quite honestly.
I can't replicate it. We were like 10 minutes in, or it felt like 10 minutes. It was probably 30 seconds. You know how this podcast drags for me. And right. Then we were like,
great stuff about your mom.
There's problems audibly. Mm-hmm. But I think we're okay now.
Mm-hmm. So we're at my house. I'm Jackie Cation.
Yes, I'm Laurie Kilmartin.
There's Kyle.
Hey.
What's going on, man?
We are still waiting for our new studio to tape out of, right? Because Meltdown shut down. Nerdist is done with Meltdown, at least, or whatever.
Yeah,
Nerdist isn't done.
Nerdist isn't done.
Place in Burbank, but we haven't.
Right. There's going to be a new studio. We're going to go there eventually.
Yeah.
And which is nice because we both live in the Valley.
Yes, that's fine.
And it'll be easier to get to. Funny, let's just recap some funny jokes you guys missed.
I can't. Jackie, you know me. I never repeat my jokes. Every time I'm on stage, it's a brand new hour. How could I? I don't even know what that's like. Those grooves are gone in my head.
It's right. Except for that, I did love it when you said that your mom was also going to walk through this episode. That made me laugh. That was a funny one.
Thank you.
And then there was, you were at San Francisco Punchline.
I was at the Punchline this weekend.
And idiots think that texting on their Apple Watch isn't texting.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And yet it lights up your face.
Yeah. And their eyes go down and everyone's like, what are you looking at? How come I can't look at my phone?
Mm-hmm.
So a woman is texting on her iPhone, an Apple Watch.
Oh, an Apple Watch.
So we go back and forth and then she stops and then she starts looking at it again. And I said, you're addicted. and I said, give it to me and I'll give it back to you at the end of the show.
Which is such a grade school teacher kind of thing to do.
Dude, that's what I'm turning into. When can I stop being a mother, for God's sake? I used to be able to be a real woman on stage, and I'm still a mother. I can't escape taking care of people and telling them how to live.
Being marginalized for just being a woman.
You know I've never been a sexual being. But anyway. So then, as I'm having this interaction with this lady right up front, to the left, also the front table to the left, the whole table is texting and busy, and they're almost having a group text about the show. I don't know.
They're sitting next to each other, texting to each other?
Yeah, one lady in particular.
Oh, my God.
And she looked like Molly, who runs the club. So it was disconcerting on a couple levels.
Right, because you don't want to shut down the club booker.
Yeah, and, exactly. But I'm like, that's not Molly.
Tell yourself.
So the lady whose Apple Watch I took was laughing about it and was like, yeah, you're right. I have a problem. This lady didn't like being called out.
Right.
And she goes, I'm concerned about my baby. Like it was a noble thing. I'm
what,
bitch? I left my baby, okay, in Southern California so I could do shows. So I know what it's like to leave a baby. Just leave him. Right?
Yeah,
he's with the sitter. He's fine.
Let go of the baby.
Yeah, you're gone for an hour and a half at most, and I've got 40 more minutes left. You'll be back in an hour.
Yeah.
She didn't like that.
Oh,
the crowd did, but she didn't like it.
Because that's hilarious.
So then it just, they were just distracting, and they had been assholes earlier.
Why did she come to a comedy club?
Don't ask me.
Anyway.
I don't know. It was a holiday weekend, so it was a lot of newbies to stand-up comedy.
Yes.
But so then they got booted out about 15 minutes later.
Into your set.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Maybe I had 15 minutes left in my set. But the audience erupted in cheers because those assholes were gone. They kept distracting.
Yes.
And it was to the point where I just ignored the left half of the room because I didn't want to see them because it would make me angry.
Right.
And
It
ruined your show a little bit because you're not 100% open. So they left and I felt better. And the table sitting behind them who had been oppressed by these assholes in front of them, all of a sudden.
You're joking. And yet I completely support that they were fucking oppressed.
Yes. We're the greatest audience members ever. I'm like, I couldn't even hear you guys. And they had been distracted by these people, too.
Right.
I mean, bad audience members distract the rest of the audience. They make the show, it's not just me, they make the show bad for everybody around
right,
them.
Because everybody has to then exercise patience.
And instead of just surrendering yourself to the comedian and paying attention, you're like, when I'm spending energy not looking to the left side of the room, it's hurting the rest of my show.
Right.
And the audience surrounding that person is also not able to completely be in the show.
No, because they have to then... Because you get hairy eyeballs to the left, like they eyeball them, and there's just like,
yes.
But then they're trying to listen to you and they laugh. They look at them and then they look at you and they laugh.
You shouldn't have to try to listen to somebody
right.
at a comedy show. You just sit down, drink, just, and listen. That's
yes,
your job.
That's
okay?
your whole job. It's not that big, it's not that difficult.
Yeah.
And if you only want to drink, get out. It's like, because that stir crazy guy, that's what I really liked about that guy, stir crazy guy, Tom. It only serves beer and
oh,
wine.
Yeah.
And
so
somebody,
this is a club in Glendale.
In Glendale, Arizona.
It's not a guy
Arizona.
Who's stir crazy.
Right. He is. He
the
himself,
club is called Stir Crazy.
It's true, because he liked that movie. And so they only serve beer and wine.
Yeah.
And somebody was like, man, if you're not going to sell hard liquor, you're not going to make good money. People like to do shots. And he goes, I don't want them doing shots at my
comedy.
Yeah,
now you
got
to hire a bodyguard to remove a drunk guy who's doing shots.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
No.
How about beer and wine? If you want an adult beverage, and then I think he has like those weird like hard Mike's hard lemonade.
Yeah.
But they're margaritas. They're in bottles. I don't know.
Yeah.
What are the kids drinking?
Why and, don't? How about sell people a special bag, like a special like brown bag that they can bring, put their own booze in, like market it, like brand it Stir Crazy brown bag, and you give it
no.
to the person. Yeah, it's for $3 and you hide your flask in it. What do you mean no?
No, you don't even sell merch. You're like, no,
I have
no,
a lot of merch ideas for other people. Listen,
right.
I got great ideas I won't implement.
So literally when I'm not working half of the room because there is a disruptive person
yes.
in the front.
And you don't want to activate them. You don't want to make eye contact. They'll start up again.
You will activate them.
Yeah,
that's,
you do.
That's exactly the word. And the thing is the people around them don't get the full jokes.
They don't get the whole punchlines. The whole room doesn't get the whole show because 20
oh, yeah.
to 50% of you is monitoring how you respond to somebody. Instead of just being in a stand-up.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's
mm-hmm.
it's very distracting. So for people who think it's no big deal that they check their phone, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Because other people have put their phone away, and they're
yeah.
like, I'm going to not do it for an hour and a half. And then they see you, and they're like, you know what? I wonder if anyone's texted me.
Yeah.
And they want to check their phone. And then they start easing it out, sneaking in. All of a sudden, I've got a front row of first graders hoping I don't realize they're checking their phone.
Right, right, right.
Really? You're looking at your crotch right now?
Yeah.
No, you're not. You're looking at your phone. I know what you're doing.
Right. Please look at your crotch. I have a crotch joke coming up.
You to be holding your penis right now than holding your iPhone, honestly.
Exactly. Or hold that guy's penis. Remember a couple of weeks, months ago, I did the Long Island Governors.
Yes.
And there was this couple who, weirdly enough, were in the way back.
Yeah.
So God love them. But sadly, in a spotlight. Making out so hard, like hardcore, just macking
and
on
so
each other.
And you can see it, but most of the audience can't.
Audience can't see it. But it was so distracting that by like minute 6 or 7, I had to go, you guys... Everyone turn around and look at them and see how well lit they are. You guys have to stop making out, or you have to find a darker
yeah.
corner of this room.
You got to pick an activity. Listen or love, but you can't do both.
Exactly. And I was the heckler. There was trouble in the Delta Sky Club over the weekend.
Wait, where were you? Where were you last weekend?
I went to Phoenix. I did Bird City Comedy Festival.
By the way, I've never heard that Phoenix is Bird City. Is this a new thing they're trying to push?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
It's like NoHo.
All right.
It's and it might take 20 years for them to figure out that they are Phoenix is a bird.
It's also like Ireland, the West Coast, they're calling the Wild Atlantic Way now. Yeah. I mean, it's a great name, but
sure.
Yeah.
Let's see if it takes.
Yeah.
And I did a Bird City comedy podcast
yeah.
at the Bird City Comedy Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, is it a podcast for the festival? And the comic was like, nope. No, it isn't. I wish I could remember the young gentleman's names. That was Lou and Tristan.
Okay. Well, that's you've got as enough name as you need.
Right. Everybody can find it.
Yes.
Anyway, so I go to the I go to the airport. Yeah. I'm sitting in the Delta Sky Club.
Yes. Phoenix, right?
No, L.A. Phoenix okay. doesn't have one. Phoenix is the weirdest airport. Can be addressed later.
Oh, so the rental cars are an hour away from the airport.
The airport is an hour away from its own self.
Okay.
It is. Every terminal is... It's like they think that they're going to be...
Horrifying.
Huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so...
You're just Phoenix, and you've topped. All right? Because you're a desert. You don't have water. You're not getting any bigger.
Right. It's not going to get any bigger.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be this big. So, but in the LAX Delta Sky Club, and they just moved them because all the terminals just got moved.
Right,
so the Sky
right.
Clubs are tiny, and they're cramped. They're full. Sometimes you can't even get in. They'll give you like a $15 gift card to Starbucks and go, we're really sorry, it's full.
Is this temporary? Or is
it is temporary, okay. supposedly.
Because if I were you and I had that many miles, I would be outraged and I'd throw a fit every time.
I don't. what I do is I either take my $15 or I say, I just need a cup of coffee to go. I don't need to sit here and
yeah.
use your outlets. So, but I was sitting, it was packed. In comes a family, two parents, two yeah. sets of parents, four children and a grandpa.
Yeah.
The children are then allowed to run all over the Sky Club for 20 minutes while the audience essentially tries
the audience,
which is what
every group of people is an audience to you.
That's what they're called, an audience. But much like the audience, everyone was politely side-eyeing each other and trying to deal with, they were so loud. The parents were talking to each other super loud.
Oh.
So they were a disaster of a group of white people.
Right.
And they could not have been. And I didn't realize how white they were until a black couple came in with their child.
Mm-hmm.
Very quiet. Very polite.
Yeah.
Normal fucking Sky Club. Hey, we're going to go sit in this corner, get some free hard-boiled eggs,
sure.
and a cup of coffee.
And I was always hyper-vigilant about my kid running around and stuff.
Yes.
I mean, in a situation like that,
yes.
Yeah. And when he would kick the seat, I would kick him. I would. I wouldn't let him kick someone's seat in front of me. And I've sat in front of somebody who let their kid and go, mm-hmm. He's four. I don't know what disorder he had. I'm like, hold his fucking legs. You have hands,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
I would put my leg on his leg. I would bar him. Because when they're two or three, they forget what yeah. you said 2 seconds later.
Right. It's the civilization process
yes.
is constant.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that with children. And so we all, and so loudly, one of the women go, well, we should get going. And I started an applause break.
Wait, there are two mom parents?
Two moms, two okay. dads, and
oh,
a grandpa.
I see.
Like, fucking
they're
so
all Delta medallions?
And four people, four children.
Oh, they're first class.
Either that they're just super rich, you know, LA
right,
banana
right.
heads, and they are out of their fucking mind. And so
started applauding?
Yeah. And
awesome.
The guy sitting next to me, he just looked and he laughed. He was like, yeah. And so the woman, one of the women goes, oh, I'm so sorry for our children. I said, you should be.
Yes.
And she said,
yes,
they're children. And I said, and you're parenting supposedly, right?
No.
And it got, it just,
oh my God,
it just
that
fucking
is awesome.
Escalated. And then the guy goes, she's 3 years old. And I said, yeah, she shouldn't be running around by herself. And then the woman goes, oh, I take it you're not a mother to
oh
me.
Oh, my God.
I take it you're not a parent. And the guy sitting next to me turned around and said, I have two children. They're 5 and 3. I parent them.
When we're out. No, this is awesome. They've
yeah.
never been told this. I
right.
guarantee
and
you.
And I said, you are the worst white people. My people are horrible.
You're not racial.
Right.
I love it.
They walk out. Black guy comes over to me. High fives. I was like, okay, I kind of feel vindicated, even though I was shaking because I was like, and
oh, yeah.
oh, that was the other thing. The grandpa said to me, all right. Let's just take a minute. Everybody take a time out. Just take a time out. And I literally said to him, why do I have to take a time out and your children don't have
oh
to?
My oh, my God. Yes.
So I was using my heckler skills.
Oh my
for
God!
Good, you
guys. That's so great.
I
that
was
is so great.
Just in just furious.
You should be first class for life for that.
I was surprised that nobody in the Sky Club said to them, "Hey, you know, it's crowded. You guys have to sort of corral your children, you know, inside voices."
The Delta people.
The Delta people said nothing. The Delta people said nothing.
Mm. They must have paid a lot of money for those tickets.
Well, probably $50 a piece, because that's what it costs if you just want to go to it.
Wow. I mean, they must have been first class. You know. They must be ruining a first class flight right now.
Right. They're probably still on a plane, you guys. Maria said that her flight from London had a fist fight on it. It was delayed an hour and a half. They had to take a guy off.
So it was on the tarmac and they got in this fight?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That would have been a long one had it gone in the air.
Yeah.
In first class or business or economy?
I don't know. I don't know.
Probably first. Where was Maria? Business?
Either business or economy. Mm. I don't think she bought first class tickets. Mm. But I would have.
That's all I will spend my money on. I fantasize.
I'm like, there's going
to
be another 4 grand.
I just want business class money. I don't need to be first class. I just want to make enough to do business class on every flight over 2 hours.
Right, right. It was a...
I'm not there yet.
No, you're not there yet. But once the boy starts making money, then you can just make your own money.
I should be a stage mom. Well, you know what? I could siphon money off from him with his math skills. Honestly, I could I could steal $1,000. Wait. Okay, so I made some notes. So I'm at the Punchline, right? I'm from San Francisco, from the Bay Area.
Right. Everyone should come.
Right. But, oh, they did.
Oh, good.
High school friends and childhood friends. It was really fun. A lot of people. It's like my family's not there anymore.
Right.
Well,
right.
My dad is in the ground in the East Bay. And so when I was little, my dad used to take my sister and I to the Hyatt Hotel, which is right near the Embarcadero, which is right off the BART train.
Right.
And we would like buy some dumb earrings from the Craftsman and just go inside the Hyatt and have drinks, whatever. And I hadn't been in there in a long time, but the Punchline's right near that. Mm-hmm. And so I just started walking around and I'm just like filled with memories. Like they haven't changed that Hyatt Square in 50 years. That they have this giant structure that's like a fountain. And I remember running around on that when I was a kid. And the structures inside the Hyatt haven't changed. There's this... there's another fountain where the water is so smooth it looks like glass even when it's coming down. It's really beautiful.
Right, right.
But so I was just sitting in there and watching the elevators go up. Have you seen the Hyatt elevators in the San Francisco?
No.
Do you remember the movie Earthquake?
Yes.
Okay. You might not. But some of it took place in the Hyatt.
Are they those outside elevators?
They look like those tubes you put money in when you do drive-up banking back in the 80s or 90s or whatever. What are those called? Pneumatic tubes or something?
Oh, yeah.
So they go up outside the building, and they're I was just watching them like mesmerized and being dipped in nostalgia and old memories. And I'm like, am I ever going to come back to San Francisco and not feel slightly sad?
I think that the memories should also be good memories. You know,
definitely.
It should make you happy too.
Yes.
You know, it's, I was just thinking about, my stepmother the other day and, cause she died, probably it'll be 5 years, I think, in July that she will have died. And, so
you, by the way, are distracted on your cell phone even after intro to this podcast.
Well, you want another topic, right?
You
want to be done at 17 minutes?
Well, yes, you know that.
So, and so I was thinking about how, like, you know, there's things that she did wrong that I think back on that are comedy fodder.
Yeah.
And that I feel bad about trying to do comedy about it because she was also... Like she fixed everything. She created boundaries and structure and these things that I had never had before, and thus I am able to make my own bed and have a life and not be a dirtbag. And so,
dude, she would love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, she would laugh and defend herself and go, "All right, let's do whatever." I mean,
most you're going to get out of a mom or stepmom. They're not going to completely love it. But you're making them famous in a way, and you're remembering them.
Yes. So
they appreciate.
Do you have any? Do you ever write any stuff about your
stepmom? Never
about
had
your dad?
One. No.
Yes. It's.
Did I ever write anything about my dad?
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
I'm talking about older stuff, like just like old stories.
I never talked about him on stage.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't. Like, my mom is so intrusive and violates so many boundaries that she overwhelms me.
Right.
And my dad was actually pretty cool. I mean, the stories about him aren't hilarious to a stranger. They're more like my sister and I talk about how goofy my dad was, but it's not going to, it's not a Friday Night Late Show joke.
Yeah.
The punchline has metal detectors. Have you been at a club with metal detectors? Every audience member walks through a metal detector.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Why don't they have, you know, the Comedy Works has those cell phone bags. How about, why'd you get that? Why'd you put in?
That's a good idea. They do? I didn't know that. I thought just like the big stars had that. So they take everyone's cell phone?
Every show.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then they lock them. And then you get the, you got to put it on vibrate.
Yeah.
So if it goes off, then you can go and get it unlocked if you want.
Oh my God.
It would be kind of perfect for the punchline.
Oh my God. Well, any club. But, you know, especially the Bay Area, because they're so, everyone's got the latest of everything.
Shane Torres was telling me about some clubs in Texas that I've never worked. Have you ever worked Hyenas?
No, I did a guest set there once when I was in Dallas for something else.
Yeah, because there's three of them.
Yeah.
There's like one,
this
I think,
guy named
in
Randy
Dallas,
owns them, I think.
One in Fort Worth, which is right by Dallas.
Yeah.
And then one in Plano.
Plano, which is also near Dallas, right?
Oh, is it?
I think so. It's a suburb of Dallas.
Okay, so so it must be like Zanies then, where
there's just a
bunch of outside of Chicago.
Yeah.
It's sort of a group. Okay. Oh.
Yeah, you should work those.
Yeah, I should totally work
They're
those.
They're like a Wednesday through Saturday or something.
Oh, it's a full week, huh?
I think it's like a Funny Bone week.
Okay.
And I think if I, because I did a guest set when Rachel Feinstein was headlining.
Yeah.
And I noticed that they did the old like kind of Green Onions kind of song at the beginning of the show, you know?
What's that song?
I can't get it.
Oh, Green Acres?
No, Green Onions.
I don't know.
You're not singing it well, and I don't have it in my head at the moment. But it's that old intro that...
Yes! Finally!
From your high throne.
Well, finally. That sounded
finally
really mean.
Him. Yes!
Because he... I'm like...
No, no.
Sing this instrumental, boy. No.
Dance, monkey.
Well,
oh my God,
well, Kyle,
hilarious.
It wasn't good.
Sorry, Mom.
Oh my God, she got defensive. But it took her like a minute and a half because she knew she was wrong. And now she's like, it wasn't good, Kyle. I'll get defensive. I'll show you.
Swimming.
I wonder that maybe that is how I parent. Oh my God. That's awful.
Well, note to self.
That felt very familiar to me. Like I didn't think I was being out of line.
Well, there.
Oh, dear.
Well, see, it's a teaching moment.
Oh,
it's
man.
Beautiful. In other news, the punchline.
How am I going to recognize that when I'm doing it to my son?
Well, you were just given a flag factory. Why don't you?
Oh my God.
The first thing is seeing it in out here in the world. And then you take that information into your personal life. You can do it. Well, I believe in you. I totally believe in you.
Oh, no.
You don't want to create another generation of you. Come on.
No, I don't. I literally don't.
You literally don't. Every parent I've ever met is like, no, you are correct. How do I stop it here?
So at the punchline, Michael Meehan came by.
Okay.
He's a stand-up.
Right.
And he's so fucking funny, but he's like one of those guys that's like beyond comedy in a way. Like there's some people that are very funny
right here
and creative, but they're also equally creative in other things. And so it's almost like, why would I want to spend 50 weeks a year on the road telling the same jokes? You know what I mean? So
right.
He's like a very
prolific,
very, very fun. Yeah.
And interesting.
He's like a great woodworker. Like he has a kid my kid's age, and he's like, yeah, my kid wanted a sword, so we went to the dump and got a metal and forged it. And I'm like, what?
What?
Oh my God. My kid wants a sword. I'm like, okay, I'll go on Amazon and get
buy him a sword.
A foam sword.
Right.
But yeah, so I was like, oh, what am I? I'm not. You know, yeah. At least I have my good disciplinary habits that I'm
You have other. Okay. You have everybody has something different to offer their children.
Sure.
Anyway,
so okay.
Did he do a guest set?
No, he just popped by to say hi. But he brought me a picture because the night the Walnut Creek Punchline closed,
okay,
was in the 90s or something. One of the clubs I worked all the time, and I was up on stage and he popped up on stage naked, but with a sock on his penis.
Oh,
which again, I know how that sounds, but it was. It's not. It wasn't sexual harassment. It was really funny,
right?
And everyone. And so he brought a picture of it, and he just he said, "We've had this on our fridge for 25 years here." But it was. It was cool to see him.
Oh, that's
Scott
nice.
Capurro came by. He's a San Francisco. He goes San Francisco, London, because he's.
Oh wow.
He went. He started going over to London. God, in the mid 90s or early 90s,
when
the scene just started. And he's like an institution there, you know, and he is in San Francisco too. So I think he just goes back and forth and
has
a great career between two amazing cities.
Right. Well, someone was telling me that I needed to do my career more like Chad Daniels.
Yeah.
And I was like,
what's
I love Chad Daniels.
From another, what do you mean?
Because he put out his album March of last year.
Yeah.
2017. He's recording a new album this fall.
Wow.
And I was like, well, good for him. It's so I fucking Chad
That's
Daniels
a lot
is
of
one
material
of my
to turn over.
He's genuinely one of my very favorite comics ever.
Yeah, he's great.
And he's one of those people that I will watch every time they go
He must be on the road all the time.
Well, that's it. Is that
I mean,
he's doing long sets.
Yeah, I could see like even just a weekend. I was like, if I was doing this all the time, I can see how people are turning over that much material.
Right.
You know,
a year and a half, maybe. But I would give it another 6 months anyway. Just because I always wanted Louis C.K. to give himself 18 months.
I wanted him to give himself a private handjob.
Well, everyone has
dreams.
We
all have our hopes and dreams for Louis.
I was telling some story about some dirtbag. I wasn't telling the story. Somebody else was telling the story. Just all because it was comedy camp.
Yeah.
The Bird City Comedy Festival. So we're all sitting around talking, just, you know, talking about, and it comes up some guy's bad behavior, some horrible male comic. And then somebody else. And he goes, and he's not funny. And just the murmur of comics around going, previously it was like, he was like grabbing boobs and being a horrible dude.
Right.
And everyone was like, ugh.
Yeah.
And then, but
the
one
real
at
crime,
a time,
the real
the real crime.
What's
that?
You got to be really funny to get away with that.
To really get away with that.
And maybe not anymore. What about Roseanne? Did you watch?
No, I didn't like the show initially.
Yeah.
Because she's so... I'm going to say this. It's my opinion, is that the original Roseanne show, I grew up poor in a large family in a working class town.
Yeah.
So her...
It must be noted, you have a crochet rug over your sofa, which is right behind you.
It is not crochet.
Oh, it's not? Oh,
no,
it looks like
it's just,
here.
But we do have a doily. So whatever. That Andy's great aunt knitted.
Yeah.
Anyway, or did made. And so their poverty was so arrogant. It was so mean. She was just like, we're poor and it's shitty. And it's super. I mean, this was the comedy of the original Roseanne show.
Yeah.
It's poor and that's super shitty. And we love each other, but watch me be a dick to you all the entire episode.
Yeah. Right, right, right.
And it's because we're poor. And you're like, I need the comedy to come from somewhere else. I've always
wanted to go hopeful in a way.
Yeah. I like a hopeful.
Yeah. Right, right, right.
Right. I mean, there's the pattern of sitcoms is mean.
Yes.
So that is how a comedy is written on a sitcom. It's a lot of, there's just heads butting all the time.
Yeah.
But that's why my favorite sitcoms as a tiny child. I mean, I only watched I Love Lucy.
Yeah.
Until I became sentient enough to go, oh my God, she's an idiot. And I can't possibly watch this woman and he's an asshole.
Yeah.
And they're going to make the same mistake every fucking episode.
Right.
I'm done now.
Yeah.
And so, did you watch the new show?
I did.
And it was one episode.
It was good. I mean, there's two. There were, I think it was two.
Two episodes?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it was just interesting.
And funny people are writing for it.
Yes. Very funny people are writing for it. And, you know, her tweets are becoming... I mean, they found
I'm
some
blocked,
back tweets.
So I don't... I'm not allowed.
I'm just seeing what other people are screenshotting. And, you know, like... I'm like, if anyone else dressed as Hitler and baked cookies... that were shaped as Jewish children, would they have a TV show on the air? Like, what? Yeah.
That's what she did?
Yeah, she has a picture of herself with a Hitler mustache. She has cookies that she said are shaped as children that are Jewish, and she's putting them into the oven.
Oh,
now
that's just good writing. Holy fuck, what an asshat. What a fucking piece of shit.
You know, but it's also... it's super provocative.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, Kathy Griffin... Kathy Griffith held ahead of Trump, you know,
and the photographer who found that prop for her got no guff, by the way. No,
right.
Which did you see it? Forbes today? Was it Forbes or Fortune?
I don't know.
Did an article today.
Yeah.
Whatever date it is. The 22nd. So it came out today in either Forbes or Fortune. I forget. Saying that they interviewed the writers and they're not going to mention Trump again. On the show.
Oh, yeah. I thought they weren't going to mention him at all. Did they? They didn't mention his name on the...
Oh, okay. So I guess they must have meant in the article that they're not going to reference the political situation.
I think that's really smart because... I mean, we talked about this on stage.
Yeah.
Is you can have, I find you can have a liberal position as long as you don't call it out as liberal. Yeah. And they audit, because people project their own stuff onto you. If they mm-hmm. like you, they mm-hmm. think that you're like them, you know? Mm-hmm. And so if you pick your words carefully, you can sneak in a pro choice joke without angering anti abortion people and make them laugh at it.
Right.
Now, some comics don't want to sneak it in. Sometimes they want to walk the anti-abortion people, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
whatever. That's your choice.
Well, that's.
I like to get away with it,
right? I want to finish my set.
Yeah,
so I want to do my whole set, and I've always thought of that as more socio-political comedy.
Yes,
but
I do think it's smart for them not to do that because people can project their own stuff. Did you see the Deadline thing of the Sinclair anchors all saying the same script?
Yeah.
Now, what they were saying was, you know, fake media is bad.
Yeah.
Either side could project into that and go, mm-hmm. yeah, you're right. If you're, you know, on the left, you're watching and going, yeah, that's you.
Right.
But if you, as long as you don't specifically name politicians, people will project their own politics onto you.
Right.
And you can stay. And so I think it's smart of them to do it because maybe it's not about Trump anymore when you're talking about her show. It's about people feeling left out or whoever this white lower middle class is that voted for Trump. And by the way, I'm tired of trying to understand them.
No,
I'd rather understand any black voter who's not voting and go, let's get you out there.
Booth.
Let's get policies on the Democratic platform that get you going, yeah, I'll risk it. You know, I'll risk being turned away at the poll for some dumb reason. I'll risk believing in a white politician if it's a white politician mm-hmm. saying we want police reform or something like that. You know, that's what I'd rather be doing instead of trying to hook a coal miner who realizes it's not a great career.
Right.
Maybe I'll vote for somebody
else. Right. That was a great tweet that I screenshot and posted on my Facebook of yours it was just about how there's plenty of issues that we can vote for. We don't need to re-co-opt the 22% of Americans who voted for Donald Trump.
They're gone.
It's fine.
Yeah,
they can want to go eat your own dick. Guess who needs more rest? This one. Right here. But I'm going to get it, you guys.
You're
I'm going to get
for
it.
For a long time, right?
I'm going to be... Well, I'm going... this will drop after, but I'm going to Waukegan with Maria. I'm doing probably four or five.
I feel like I've been hearing about this gig for 6 weeks straight.
That's because I'm fascinated that we're doing Waukegan. You are not wrong. I think ever since I heard the words Waukegan, Illinois, Jackie Cation, Maria Bamford, I was like, who are they? And I heard this, is that when they closed Cabrini...
Green.
The housing project in Chicago. Yeah.
Many of those people relocated to Waukegan.
Mm.
Which when I think of my fan base, I think of Cabrini Green. I think who doesn't want someone who who doesn't know how to see ya.
SZA, you mean?
Yeah.
SZA?
Yep. Is it SZA?
I don't know.
Okay. It's SZA. Probably Shaw.
Sia is a different. Sia's the. Yeah. And then SZA is also a singer. She's African American. SZA, all caps.
Oh, it's SIA.
Oh, is that how that's said out loud?
What? Yeah, I think so.
None of us know how to say any of
that said out loud. I've only read that name.
That's my guess. SZA. How else would you say? Za?
Hey, call us, you guys. Let us in on this. I bet you we've done 30 minutes.
We sure have.
Oh, feels like it.
Let's hear it. It's I was reminded of our comic of the week, and you know her better than I do.
Yes.
And it is Nicole Amy Schreiber.
Yes.
Yes.
Very, very funny. We did a show together at the Lab a couple
Detroit
months ago.
Detroit comic. Works the Comedy Castle, I know.
Yeah.
And
but she goes back and forth.
Back and forth.
She's here in L.A. She's in Detroit.
Yep. But, and it's at Nicole Amy, A-I-M-E-E.
Yeah.
And Nicole is N-I-C-O-L-E.
Yeah, that Amy will throw you for a loop. There's a lot going on. It's a French Amy.
It's a French Amy.
A-I-M-I-E-E. Yeah. But you don't have to put an accent on the E in Twitter. Anyway. She's really
Find
funny.
Her.
She's dark.
She's great.
She's funny.
She's dark and funny and great.
Yeah.
So she is our comic of the week this week. So find her.
That's right.
And watch her stand up and tell jokes.
Yeah.
Because she's great.
How much time have we done, Kyle?
35 minutes.
Oh, man.
Oh, just 35? Interesting.
I slept a lot this week.
Oh, that's so great.
I'm in a hotel. I turn my sound machine on. My crickets are playing. I sleep to crickets. I never get away from bombing. It's like I'm bombing for 8 hours a night. But I turn them up loud.
Somehow it's soothing.
Club quarters. They put you up at club quarters.
Yeah.
And they have free laundry downstairs.
That's weird.
I could have brought one less workout outfit and just washed every single day. Very nice.
That is
something
nice.
To remember for next time.
Right.
I brought books and I brought all I could fit was 14 because I was trying to do all carry on. Oh my God. My night. So I'm flying out on Thursday, right?
Right.
So we get the email like, oh, we're just going to stay till 2 o'clock on Thursday and we're not working on Friday. So plane tickets I got on Friday, I immediately turned it back into Southwest through my Southwest bank.
Awesome.
So I'm like, oh, everything just got easier. So then I bought an earlier ticket from leaving Burbank 3:05 getting into Oakland. So my other option is leaving like at 5:25 and I get into SFO at 6:45 and then I go right to the Comedy Club, which is not how I want to do
it. It's not ideal.
No, I just want some time to de-stress, listen to my set, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I got to leave, you know, I left at 2:10, you know, and I get in the car at Warner Brothers and I valet it and at Burbank Airport, which it's so fat. You're valet and 2 minutes later you're in line.
Yep.
I'm pre. Okay. Everyone's got to be pre if you're a comic.
Yeah.
And again, Burbank pre, I'm the only one in line, you know, practically. And I get right there and I'm in time for a latte at Pete's.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, got to the show in plenty of time.
Right. There's, it cannot be stressed enough how important that just hour and a half.
Yeah.
That's all
alone.
You need.
Yeah.
Alone.
Because then you can stop worrying about, is my flight going to be okay? Am I going to make it? And just have an hour by yourself in the hotel room.
Yeah. I'm not even doing anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was a final party at the Bird City Comedy Festival.
Yeah.
And
and this is Phoenix, by the way. They're trying hard, so let's help them out.
Exactly.
Phoenix, Bird City,
Bird City. And so I do a live Dork Forest with Maggie May.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if she's been a comic of the week. I feel like
she has really early on.
Oh, yeah. Early, though.
Yes.
And her dorkdom, by the way, grocery stores.
Oh.
Hilarious. I was like, and then she explained what she loves about grocery stores. And I was like, oh, I love grocery stores.
Yeah.
But she will spend 2 hours in a freaking grocery store.
Oh, my God.
Just browsing.
That reminds me of something I want to talk about. Keep going.
Okay.
I'm just gonna make a note.
Make a note.
Okay.
And so, anyway, another classic. Hey, there's gonna be an after party.
Yeah.
Where are you going, Jackie? Well, I'm just gonna go drop my stuff off upstairs. I'll be right down. And
by that you mean you're gonna drop your body off into a bed? Yeah.
Yes. That's exactly
that's
what happened.
Stuff.
And so somebody kind of half followed me to the elevator,
and
I go. Tell everyone I was here to the end.
Oh my God.
Anyway, what did you want to tell me?
Oh, so I I'm going to try my goal in my personal life now. Okay, before my dad started dying,
yeah,
I was taking cooking classes.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I'm going to, because I have my relationship with food is long and troubled, right?
Right.
And now that my mother is living with me, I grew up hiding food from her and not eating in front of her because she would tell me how many calories it was going to make me right, fat. Right. Why are you eating that? But whatever. She was always in my
right,
food. So my instinct is to not eat. Just, I don't want to be associated with her. And when she's in the kitchen, I don't want to be there.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to, you know, on my road weeks, when I get away from her and get away from
yeah,
my son, but mostly her, I'm like, I would just like to have a satisfying meal instead of sneaking toast
yeah,
and then running into my bedroom with it so she doesn't see me eat it.
I'm
even though she doesn't say
tears,
anything with
holy
it.
Holy fuck.
What?
I'm going to burst into tears. No, and then I'm going to laugh hilariously.
But I want
okay,
to like, and when I was taking my cooking class, that was part of my thing with my new thing with myself. I was like, I'm going to learn how to enjoy eating food.
Yeah.
I'm just so trained to just get it
this
down
is
before
comedy gold, by
anyone
the way,
catches me.
Yeah.
You know? And,
you're like just leaving like half a sandwich around the house.
How does Lori do it? She never eats. I don't know. How is she alive?
How does she, and yeah, she's so great. Anyway.
Oh my goodness.
Right.
So that's what I was trying to do. And also wanted to be able to prepare food for my son. So he wouldn't have any kind of, he would have nice meals, you
yeah,
know, but
yeah,
he doesn't now. He has me microwaving Amy's,
okay,
A-M-Y, the different
right,
spelling, not Nicole Amy Schreiber, our comic of the week.
Right. Amy's organic frozen, they're TV
so
dinners,
good,
but they're really good.
Those pot pies. Great.
Andy loves a pot pie.
Amy's
pot pie is really good?
Good.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know,
what do you like? What do you like to eat?
Salmon.
Like, oh, you like a nice salmon, what, maybe some rice,
you know,
and
what,
a vegetable?
Yes.
Is that a nice plate
so
for you?
So at the commissary at Warner Brothers, usually I'm like, oh, I'll just have a bagel in the kitchen. But then I'm hungry 20 minutes later on, and it's a nonstop snack fest all afternoon.
Right.
And, but I went, I had a, what? You guys exchanged a meaningful look, and I'm like, what's happening?
It's clearly I'm doing something wrong with the mic because I jiggled the mic.
Okay.
And so I want to interrupt you. So I'm trying to put the mic down.
So you've adopted a new nervous habit to
I've
not.
Adopted
oh my
a new
God.
Nervous
Jackie,
habit so that I don't
we're
interrupt.
Both experiencing so much personal growth.
It's a teachable moment, you
I
guys.
I thought your eyes were crossing a little bit. I'm like, what's wrong with her? Oh, she's trying. She's repressing and interrupt.
Right, I'm repressing and interrupt.
It's got to go somewhere. I get it.
Okay, so you're going to the commissary now.
Oh yeah, no, just once. I'm like, let me just order a salmon or whatever they had, turkey, some kind of like
a
meat that's not red meat that will fill me up. And I did, and it tasted good. And then I wasn't snacking the rest of the afternoon. And I'm like, I'm just not used to filling myself up. Like
yeah,
it's such a decision to be full,
right?
You know, not like full, like oh, but just satisfied,
right?
And I don't know.
You've been living like a hummingbird for the last 30 years.
Yes, a binging hummingbird,
right?
Wow. A hummingbird in a vulture's body.
No, come on. Anyway,
So yeah. So
you're thinking of taking another class, or
no? I can't take a class. I don't have time. But
okay.
I did remember how to cook chicken from that one class,
right?
But I mean, even when I look at a recipe,
you have my attention.
If there's more than four steps, I'm like, ugh. I don't. It's too much.
What are you doing to chicken? Are you first of all? Are you
I haven't
buying...
touched it in like 4 years since my dad started dying. I was preoccupied.
It's a red delicious moment we're about to have right here.
Yeah,
because I suspect that you're going to buy an abomination of chicken, which is the skinless, boneless chicken breast.
Yeah. Right.
No,
oh my God!
That's where's your son? We can both blow our brains out.
By the way, I've been trying, should I just tamper with that bit? But it's like no, that's what he was.
That's
I don't know.
That's
I just
the
have
bit.
To keep it.
But there might
keep
be
it going
there might
there.
Be more stuff in it. But if you keep working on that, it'll tighten up and be exactly what you want.
Yeah, I swear, whenever I do that motion and the audience goes oh, every time
you're just like. And yet it's in my act a couple of times, and it maybe because it's your son.
Of Of course. Yeah, they're worried about him. I don't know why I present myself as a normal mother on stage. I don't know why you'd be worried about his mental health, folks. Trust me, he's fine.
Let's get back to chicken real quick. All of the flavor is in the bones and the skin. So what I recommend you do is you buy bone-in, skin-on chicken breast, cook it, remove the bones and skin.
Okay.
And the other two things that you're doing to chicken that will make it taste good, mm-hmm. salt, pepper, a dab of butter on the skin.
Oh, you don't have to tell me about butter and salt. I'm on that. That's how I have my toast.
And if you want to chop up some garlic and put it on, you can. But I mean, literally.
That's when I step away from the kitchen. It's too much. Done,
350 for a little bit less than an hour. Until it's done and you're done.
An hour? Who has 40, an hour?
435 minutes.
I get home at 7:30. I got to wait another hour. That's when I go right to 17. Amy's.
Oh, I'm so sorry. What? I keep lowering the time and the rising the heat. That was funny. Just me, though. Neither of you gave a shit.
Kyle's going, how do I stop working for these bitches? That's what he's typing in. And by the way, his Google auto fills it as soon as he types in how. That's how many times he's tried to get away from us.
Where are we at, Kyle?
We are at 44.
Okay. We're making headway.
There's some headway. I'm in town all next week just doing sets around LA.
Well, this will drop before...
Yeah.
I was in Lake Tahoe at Harvey's.
Right.
That's where I'm doing that. Flying
you're
into Sacramento
Wednesday,
renting a car, doing in the Sunday,
oh,
going
right.
all the way to the Sunday show, then driving to Sacramento, which I hear is very calm and relaxed right now, and getting a room and then taking a very early flight back to Burbank.
There's
and
no protests
right
on the highways
work.
In Sacramento right now. That's the important thing.
Are there or aren't there?
There were.
Yeah. And deservedly so.
Yeah, they're murdering people.
Yes, and they're running over people.
Yeah,
the police. And it's weird. I mean, it's not weird. It can happen to anyone. The police chief is African American. Now, you're in charge of, you know, a bunch of cops that might, you know, might have affiliations with Triple K groups. You know, you're in a tough position.
So,
you know,
it's so funny because. If not funny, haha. But that there's these choices that we're being told that we have to make. You know, people are like, well, the people who work on Roseanne shouldn't work on Roseanne because she's a Nazi.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. And you're like, well, it's a choice.
Yeah.
But every choice like that, like the police chief at the Sacramento Police Department.
Yeah.
Well, he shouldn't work for them. They're killing black people. And you're like, interesting. So there's the choices are so, and they're across all the jobs. It isn't just show business.
Every cop should be black for about 100 years for a correction.
And
this country
of course,
won't
correction.
Do reparations.
Yeah. No.
But if every police officer was African American for about 100 years,
mm-hmm.
that would correct a lot of things.
Should we make them be? No. Wait a minute. That sounds like slavery.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll be over here.
You're taking this too far out.
Okay.
But no, I mean, look at, you know, when Trump took office, right? Everyone that worked for him, oh my God, I can't believe you do that. You know, I mean, I guess that's one way to look at it. But the other way, it's like, I felt a little bit better when McMaster was his NSA and not John Bolton. You know, like when there are sane people in there trying to steer this crazy ship towards sanity, that's better than when they all leave and it's unmoored.
Well, all the civil servants... That are there trying to continue to keep the lights on.
Yes, right.
I admire those people more than not.
Right. I mean, I don't admire Huckabee Sanders or Spicer for the outright lying and how they're
and they're
propaganda
not public servants.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. I mean, what I admire is the people who had those jobs under George W. Bush, who didn't agree with him there.
Yeah.
But they kept their jobs.
Yeah.
Or they had their jobs under Obama. They didn't agree with Obama. They kept their jobs.
Yeah. Right.
You know. So. This is a shit show. You got to keep your job to some extent to see if you can. But the argument is always, well, you can change things from within the system. I've always been a fan of that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there's also sometimes like if the club is so bad that it's run by dirtbags, I will not work there.
Right.
It's You know, there's clubs that are
like a comedy club. Yes.
Yeah. Like in comedy for me.
Right.
Like there's comedy clubs that, that I've talked with you about mm-hmm. that have trouble. There's trouble there, mm-hmm. but I would still work there. They have, by the way, have not offered me work recently. Very sad, but that's fine.
Was it because you talked about them on the podcast?
Probably, yeah. Mm. And that's fine. It's I've also not worked Cap City in 3 years.
Yeah,
but that's not because Rich Miller's a bad guy.
Yeah,
it's because Rich Miller doesn't find me funny enough to not fill the room for him. He likes other comics that he thinks sure. are funnier that don't fill the room for
sure.
him.
Right,
and that's that. That too, I mean, that's the job.
Yeah.
The fucking, and you know what the job isn't? Is naming names on this podcast. But that is not my smartest move. But I also, you know, I just want to do stand-up comedy and I don't want to feel horrible about it.
Right.
And if someone is doing something in their job, if the boss at the comedy club is making decisions about my work and I'm supposed to pretend that it's because I can't fill the room when I look and I see other comics that aren't filling the room. I genuinely, my brain is not made that way. I cannot say out loud the truth. Yeah, I don't know how to.
It's like you're lying. No, I know. I've had that where someone said, "Oh, they don't want to work you because they usually just book comics that are like they pay $25,000 to." And I immediately I'm like, you know, I have the internet and I can go on your calendar.
I can see the calendar.
I can see. Yeah, not that person's not made $25,000 in a year, much less in a week at your club. Can't you just say you don't have to respond. Don't have to.
Please don't tell me you don't like me.
Yeah,
I would appreciate that as well.
Just ignore me. You don't have to respond with a lie.
That's the traditional way of comedy club owners is to ignore us. Yeah. Just go.
I don't like these new fake honest ones. I'm not working you. But here's the bullshit reason why.
Right. But I am booking this guy who is just gross. I just saw that he's coming.
Let me see.
And do you know that guy?
I do.
And he is a lot. Is he not?
He is a lot.
Right. Thumbs down.
Yeah.
Thumbs
down. Well, he has an audience that is thumbs up, I guess.
He's got an audience. Is that dirty? Did I not get that?
No, it's just opposite. Oh.
Okay, I thought it was. I thought it might have been a finger up the butt joke. That's where I went.
What is wrong with you?
Well, I think we've established what's wrong with me.
Why would you go there?
Well, because
of who we were just talking about.
Yes, that's exactly why I went there. That is exactly why I went there, because of that guy. But, speaking of which, now, I want this to be a bit.
Okay.
But I don't know how to. And has that stopped me before? It has not. Because right now it is a story about how. And I think the angle is just that I'm in this relationship with Andy. And I got tricked into nagging him the other day that it wasn't my fault. It's literally, he called me up. I was on the road in Phoenix. Bird City, you guys. And he says...
You could just say Bird City. We know that's Phoenix.
I could. And he says, guess what I did around the house today? And I was like, I can't imagine. What did you do around the house today? I was like, did you... I couldn't guess. Mm-hmm. And he said, no, guess. And I don't know how to, like, if to tell what he really did, which wasn't that big of it. I mean, I unplugged.
Let us set up on the story, by the way.
Well, that's part of the.
You're laying a lot of pipe, lady.
I'm laying a lot of pipe. To record this podcast and the Dork Forest, I unplug the home phone most of the time.
Okay.
Sometimes I forget to plug it back in.
Right.
So
a landline. You have a landline.
We have a landline because Andy Ashcraft is a safety mouse, and he thinks that it's somehow safer.
It might be.
And he said I did something around the house, and what he ended up doing, he tells me later, is that he plugged the phone back in.
That's the handy Andy you're married to.
Uh-huh. He was like, guess what I did around the house? And he goes, guess. And I said, did you fix the mailbox? And there was a long, long pause. And then he goes, No, no, I didn't get around to that. Well, guess again. And I was
he's asking for chores now.
Right. Well, and son of a bitch, I have a list of them that I did not know were in my head. And I said, oh, did you hang that curtain rod? And he goes, no, didn't do that either. And I'm like, no. And I was like, did you comb the back of your hair? I'm like, I literally did. I mean, it was like, now I'm just telling him to do things. Did you remember to floss? It's like, but all he did was plug the damn phone in, and I was tricked. And I think that there's something funny there.
But is your mailbox fixed?
No. Did you miss the mailbox on the way in?
I don't usually check people's mailboxes before I enter their homes.
You will sadly see that our mailbox is not great.
I think it's against the law for me to touch your mailbox.
No. It would be against the law to open my mail. It's a felony. So, yep. So Bird City.
I think there's a bit there.
I think there's something there.
I started doing something off of not going into the house to a house fire to save your dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something else there.
There's totally something there because you...
That I kind of riffed during our live podcast.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It was great. It was and it was receptive, I'm sure.
In San Francisco where everyone only has dogs?
Only
Not
dogs.
Really, but...
and wasn't it initially a cat? It's always nice to...
No, the cat comes second.
Okay.
And then people hop on with the cat.
People are willing to kill their cats for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
puppies are hard to get than kittens.
What?
Yes, maybe puppies are harder to get than kittens.
I don't know, but you do sound like a lizard owner at this right now, which is what you are.
Wow, a lot of people. Not a lot of people call me a lizard owner, but I am. I am in fact. There's Tiberius. Oh,
oh my God! I thought he came out.
Terrified. Terrified.
Well, I thought I could get away. He does move slowly.
Oh yeah, he has a very small brain. If you put anything in front of him, he'll be psyched that you're gone.
I'm like that.
Mm-hmm.
How much time have we done?
We are at 55.
Oh,
that's
my
not
God.
Bad. That's not bad.
We're not doing bad.
It's
what else?
I'm going out on the road again in a couple of weeks. Can't remember where. Go to JackieCation.com and figure it out.
I will be, when this drops that Saturday, I'll be in Santa Barbara.
Oh, wow.
I will tell you where, but yeah. I'm doing a little reading of Dead People Suck.
Oh, good.
And then I'm doing a show. It's kind of like at a smaller space.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'll be doing that. And then I'll be at Calabasas on the Friday night with Ada Rodriguez.
Oh, that's awesome.
The Country Club, I think.
Yeah.
Calabasas Country Club.
I'm doing Addison and then Houston with Maria and then going to Moon Tower where we're going to
meet.
Oh,
cool. Yeah. And then the following weekend.
We're doing a live Jackie and Laurie at Moon Tower.
Yeah.
I'm doing a live Dork Forest at Moon Tower.
Yeah.
I just did a live Dork Forest at Bird City and I did a live Dork Forest in Vermont.
I'll be doing the live Jackie and Laurie with you in Austin.
Please do.
And then the show, whatever comedy shows I'm at that.
Yeah.
At Moon Tower. And then Sunday I'll be at Book People in Austin.
Oh yeah.
And I'm staying over and I'm doing, please come out because I'm doing that hellish, very early flight on Monday morning.
Oh yeah.
Flying right to Burbank and going right to work.
Yep.
And it will be horrible. And I probably won't sleep a minute on Sunday night. I'll feel
awful.
It's
going to be really hard.
But yeah. I'm doing that to, just like I did with Powell's, I'm doing that to try to sell books.
Right,
so,
right. Austin,
hey,
Texas.
Yeah. Jackie and I give you a free podcast every week, and you please should repay the favor and buy your content. Jackie has CDs.
Right.
I have a book.
I should probably get a new CD out because, you know, Chad Daniels is having one this year.
I got the JackieAndLaurieShow.com domain.
And I'll make a site.
And I'll do is I'll put links to our stuff on it, but it'll go through your Amazon thing. So if people buy my book through your...
Oh, the Amazon banner.
Or anything you do.
Yeah, there's an Amazon banner or link on dorkforest.com and JackieAndLaurie.com.
Yeah, it'll go to Jackie.
Or JackieCation.com. So, that's great. I'm already making tens of dollars each month. So feel free to add to it. That'd be great. Other than that, I got nothing. I don't know. I'm just going to – I want to do more long sets.
Yes.
Just because that's the – That'll be the...
That's where the growth is.
That's where the growth is. That's where I can...
It's hard to...
Yeah, because what I have is I have a half an hour of new premises is what I fucking have.
Yeah.
And try to put them into a 45, 50-minute set.
Yeah.
Then they'll tighten up automatically. They'll...
Out of sheer panic on your part.
Right, where I'm just throwing punchlines at the wall like a monkey. And all the things. So, yeah, I'm really... I'm looking forward to doing a lot more longer sets. So.
Yes. I have some coming up, but my longer sets this week are at a casino, so God only knows. I'm going to be losing jokes left and right.
Right. They're going to look up from their video poker to they often don't do them. Like, remember Oroville had that gig? Do you ever do that casino?
Yeah, I did that one.
Because that was in a room that had slot machines and video.
Can I tell you? The worst setup ever. Yeah. It was a one-nighter, a triple run-nighter in Jackpot, Nevada. Now, I should have known because it was called Jackpot that this was going to be – comedy wasn't their top priority.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm on stage, right? Next to the stage is a circle of slot machines. Mm-hmm. So I'm surrounded by – the front row were slot machines facing outward. No, excuse me. It was a bar. It's a bar surrounding stage. Then in front of the bar are slot machines. Mm-hmm. So the first row is a bar. The second row is slot machines. And the third row are people playing the slot machines. The fourth row on are
seated
the audience.
People.
Yeah. Who actually are waiting for the slot machines to clear out so they can take their turn. Worst.
Yeah. That's whenever the bar butts up against the stage.
Yeah.
It's sort of like a strip club.
It's exactly like a strip club. That's like, what I was playing. Yeah, basically.
That's only good for strippers.
You're just protecting strippers.
Right, yeah. You're protecting strippers.
From having dollars. Wait, that's not protection.
Right, they need the dollars, you guys. I'm done.
Yeah, tip your strippers.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.